Okay, we've been looking at scripture, we've been looking at scripture at the concept over several months about how our enemy, our main enemy, the enemy within our sin nature, how it can be so dominant and even in a Christian's life after we're saved. We have new capabilities, but we still retain our old ones. Our contrary to songs and some teaching, our old heart is not washed clean. We're given a new heart. And so we've been looking at the positive side of that is, what is it like to be spiritual? And we're using scripture so we can self-analyze each of us as to whether we are spiritual and what that means and all that entails from scripture. Before we do that, shall we look to the Lord in communication. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We realize that in this time, that's how you speak to us. There are no revelatory gifts at this time, but you speak to us through your word. And even though you speak through us through your word, we cannot fully comprehend what the concepts are unless we are rightly related to you and thus have the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we ask as we look in your word today that that be true, that we see those things that are there that are pertinent and applicable to our lives so that we can live a life pleasing to you and your dear Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we've been looking then at this concept of spiritual. We spent last week showing you that this ending on the spiritual in the original language has the idea of emanating from or pertaining to. That when we're spiritual, it has it's seen in activity in our actions. And we also went on to show you from Scripture, contrary to the prudent attitudes of some in Christendom, we are to know we're spiritual. And in Galatians 5th chapter, 6th verse, 6th chapter, 1st verse, it says that he that is spiritual, that you have to know when you're spiritual. And so we've been looking at Scripture and showing you some guidelines and some criteria that we can self-analyze as to whether we're spiritual or not. Now, really, technically, all mankind can be put into three different categories: unsaved or natural men. Saved people can be put into two categories: carnal, i.e., emanating things of the flesh in their activity, or spiritual, emanating things of the Spirit in their activity. We also showed you last week that when we use the term spiritual, it refers back to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works it through us in the realm of our human spirit. So if you say somebody's spiritual, it doesn't just involve their human little s spirit, but it involves the capital S spirit, the Holy Spirit. We dealt with that last week. Now, there is a kind of a red flags passage over in 1 Thessalonians 5, which we covered, where there are some, there is the possibility of a spiritual Christian rendering the Holy Spirit inoperative in some areas. And I wanted to summarize those in a very quick statement. And if you read that section that we did over in 1 Thessalonians, those quenching of the Holy Spirit over there primarily has to do with not doing what you're supposed to do. In other words, it's not quenching the Holy Spirit isn't doing something wrong. It's not doing that what you're led to do. Now, you would automatically, if I said that, would turn with me to James the fourth chapter, and we want to cover what this verse actually says. James the fourth chapter. So what I'm saying is, as a Christian, I can render the Holy Spirit inoperative, not put him out. He's still there, but render him inoperative if I don't do the list of the things in that passage. We won't repeat them again. Now, over in James, the fifth chapter, you have a verse I'm going to read the 16th verse, but we'll comment on the 17th verse, and we'll give you a full meaning of what that verse means. But now you are boasting in your empty boasting, and all such boasting is malignantly evil. By the way, just remember the phrase Ephesians 2:8, not out of you. And there it's talking about your past in salvation, your present in salvation, and your future in salvation. It's not out of you. It's out, the source is God. Verse 17, fourth chapter of James. Therefore, to him that, now watch, that intellectually plans, or knows that you should plan to do good. Talking about good works, this is talking about fitting in character here, works, kakos. Then that intellectually know that they should plan to do good works and don't plan to do it, to him it is sin. Now this is not talking about a one-offer. The Holy Spirit leads me to do one thing and something in my mind, and trust me, my mind can do that, gets sidetracked on something else. It's not talking about a one-offer. It's talking about this concept of planning or designing and doing. That's what this verb is. It comes from the word poem or poeo. And so what it's saying is, if I intellectually know, the Bible tells me that if somebody asks me this, I have to have a response for that. And I don't do that on a pattern, and I don't plan to have that response, it's sin. Let me give you an example. Turn over to First Peter and chapter 3, verse 15. This is a strong suggestion that Peter and the Holy Spirit give Christians. 1 Peter 3:15. But you, watch how I translate that. This, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to have a defense to everyone that asks you a reason regarding the hope that is in you with objectivity and with fear. Now, that tells me that I should have in my arsenal that if somebody comes up to me and say, Rich, why are you so optimistic, that I should be planning for that to happen. And that plan should be that, because I have, my one-liner is usually, because I'm faith-based. Why aren't you so up? Well, I got a faith. And then I can go farther depending on the circumstance. Now, if I determine not to have a response to somebody that asked me, what does James say? That would be a sin. It's not talking about one circumstance. It's talking about the poeo. It has the idea of design and do, craft and do. And so that if I set up my lifestyle, I can be in and out with my relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to have that list. Let me get it for you over in 1 Thessalonians. These are the what I call the precipice of going out of fellowship with the Father. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5:13 through about verse 22. We went over that for two Sundays. We're not going to go over it again. Now that brings us to today. We're going to look again, if you'll turn with me, to 1 Corinthians 2:15. I'm glad to see that most of the modern texts have an article here. The King James Version does not have. It is so important in this verse. So watch what I show you the article. But he, or really more accurately, but the one that is spiritual, what does that mean? Emanating things of the Holy Spirit. Discerns the true value or examines and investigates all the things. Now, I think that Marshall's, you got a Marshall's 23. Does it have the article there? I'm pretty sure most of the, did Marshall's get it? Let's see if he got it.
Yeah.
Oh, so they picked it up. It's the Texas Receptus doesn't. But there should be an article. Now, we spent last week telling you that all the things, this is what a spiritual Christian does, goes back into the context, back up to chapter 2, verse 9. And this is very quick review, so we're going to go a little fast. Verse 9, it refers to the things. Verse 10, the things, all things. Verse 11, the things. Verse 12, the things. Verse 13, which things. Verse 14, the things. So the spiritual Christian can go back in this passage, understand what is being talked about in those passages, and that's what a spiritual Christian is going to focus on. That's what a spiritual Christian is going to discern. Now, in verse 9, this is review. We got up through verse 10, but we'll give you a summary of verse 9 and 10. In verse 9, it says that, and this is not talking about positional truth. Basically, verse 9 is saying, because we are born again, we have a second birth, a spiritual birth, that there's an awful lot, a plethora of riches, a cornucopia of riches, if you would, that we can appreciate when we're in the state of loving Him. That means that if I'm practicing the new commandment, conditional, this is a conditional statement, then I can start appreciating all the things that God has given me. Let's do the other side. If I'm not practicing the new commandment, that's not true. Just as Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that are loving Him. What's the other side of that? If I'm not in the process of loving Him and I can't love Him directly, we went over this last week, you can't love God directly. You love God by loving the brethren. If I'm not loving the brethren, i.e. facilitating the spiritual growth of those brethren that I come in contact with, then things won't work together for good. That, by the way, is another way to measure your spiritual life. If things start looking all sour, what's your relationship to God the Father? And if you get that right, then what's your relationship to the brethren? So that brings us then down to verse 10. And it says in verse 10 that the only way that we can understand these things, the deep things of God, and is calling the riches that we have as a result of our new birth, the deep things of God. Now, we went over to Hebrews, the sixth chapter, and the first two verses, and showed you there's over there six different things, doctrines that most people in Christendom don't get to. And those are called over there the fundamentals. They're called the ABCs of the Christian life. You see, the Christian life was not designed to come and have milk from the Word. Now, I know there's pure milk over in Peter, but it's not designed for you to drink milk metaphorically from the Word your whole life. It's designed for you to start getting, what do they call it, Gerber's baby food, the solid food, and then eventually eat steak. That's the metaphor. By the way, I hope I get a prime rib today. I'm looking forward to that. Well, don't you think I should appreciate my wife's motherhood by enjoying it? Now, that brings us to verse 11. I'll be so disappointed if we don't have that on the menu. Verse 11. Now watch how I translate. For who from among mankind, I'm going to give you an extended translation so you get the meaning of this verse. Now watch the switch. Intellectually knows, this is the general statement, of an individual man. Except that little s spirit of that individual man. This is one of the verses we come through to prove that of the three parts of man that we have the soul, body, and soul, spirit, and body, that it is in the area of the spirit where our rationale is. That's what this verse says. So it's saying you're rational, or you understand and intellectually know stuff in the realm of your human spirit. Now it takes that general statement and is going to apply it on the spiritual realm. Except the spirit of that individual man in him. Even so, the things of God in... Now here, the word know changes. Can experientially know, put into practice, no one except the Spirit from God. Spirit of God should always be translated primarily Spirit from God, because God the Father sent him, God the Son sent him. So he's a Spirit from God. He's resident on earth now, not in the third heaven. He was sent at Pentecost. Now, what it's saying here is that not only do we intellectually absorb spiritual truth, but the change in the word know means that we're to put it into practice on a regular basis. And that, what does it attribute to that practice of the spiritual life? It attributes it to the Holy Spirit. I keep coming back to this phrase, and maybe they'll put, maybe it'll be one of the things I'm known for. Not out of you. Not out of yourself. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you, I can't think a righteous thought. It's the Holy Spirit that gives me the possibility of a righteous thought. And when I act upon it, it's because of that empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Now that brings us down to verse 12. These are the things that a spiritual Christian is reflecting on or examining intellectually. Now we receive not the Spirit belonging to the world. Who would that be? Well, that would be the Holy Spirit's counterpart, Satan. We didn't receive him. We had him from our physical conception. I was going to say birth, but it really goes back to conception. We had him as our spiritual father until we were born again. But when we were born again, we received the next part of the verse. The capital S, the King James has this wrong. Change it in your Bible. The capital L is Spirit. Who is out of God the Father as a source. You have an article and you have out of as a source. So we received at initial salvation the Holy Spirit indwells us. That's over in Romans 8 chapter among 1 Corinthians 6 will do it. Chapter 3 will do it in another way. We receive the Holy Spirit. Now watch the last part of verse 12. That we might intellectually know the things. Now you have in the King James, freely given. That's grace given. Grace given to us, not of God, but by God. Everything that I have. Now I get up here on a regular basis and I brag about all the things that we have in our salvation. Boom, 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 boom. And in the morning Sunday school, we showed you, we're getting the process of showing you all the things that we'll have in the future in terms of our glorified body. And yet, I earned, you earned none of it. In the Old Testament, they could earn a better resurrection. In the New Testament, you can't. Why? Last part of verse 12. Because it's grace given. Now, grace is in the name of this church, Grace Life Baptist Church. Baptist used to mean total immersion as opposed to sprinkling. It's been watered down now. Baptist doesn't mean much. But there used to be 23 Baptist distinctives, one of which was that we believe in immersion as a sign of what happened spiritually. Not as for salvation, but because of salvation. But I want to focus on this last part of the verse 12, which is part of what my mission is on a regular basis in teaching. It says that we might intellectually know the things that were grace given by God the Father. You know, I make a mistake sometimes looking on the web at people's arguments about when the tribulation is and when the rapture is and when this is occurring. And in all the arguments and in a lot of Christian doctrine and teaching, they forget this concept of grace. I wish I could just take grace as a... Tim's father used to say, put a Zerk fitting on people's heads and take a grease gun and just put a force. I think it goes in there several thousand pounds pressure or 100 pounds pressure and just put it in people's mind that grace is freely given. The grace of God, that everything we have. And learning to you know, let me just give you one verse that I've taught in places that were hostile to me. If you'll turn over to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and I'll show you what grace. They can't get at this. Here's a verse that if you're dealing with somebody that is lordship, salvation, or is, has any kind of legalistic tendencies, come to this verse and you can just light them up. I'm telling you, you'll light them up. Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 23, and I'm going to just read the last part. Against such, there is no quality of law or rules. Do you know, and that's another, it fits right back into being spiritual. Do you know that being spiritual Christian has no rules? There's no rules. Well, Rich, then you can go rob a bank. No, because if you're emanating things of the Holy Spirit, robbing the bank won't be in the perspective. Don't you get it? It's all positive. The new commandment's all positive. Love one another. You can't break it. You either do it or don't do it. There are no rules for a spiritual Christian. That's what this verse is saying. Every rule that says over in 1 Corinthians 6 where it says don't fornicate, that's talking to carnal Christians. So if there's any negative thing in the New Testament that tells you to not do something and you're doing it, you're carnal. They're not for spiritual Christians. That's understanding grace. When we say there's no rules, we're not saying the sky's the limit. What we're saying is it's all positive. The Holy Spirit is all in the area of positive. I hate that word positivity. It doesn't sound right to me, but it's all positivity. And I think they misuse that, but that's another story. We need to learn to live by grace. Everything that happens in our life, we subjectively think that it might not be good. We subjectively think that it should get out of our life. But it was given to us by grace. And nothing can come into my life, no matter how horrible the circumstance is, that I don't have enough available empowerment from the Holy Spirit in the realm of my human spirit and my realm of my mind of Christ, and my sharing of the mind of Christ, that I can't sustain, that I can't overcome it. That's living by grace. If I were to summarize what living by grace is relying on God and not out of you. Relying on God. Now that brings us down to verse 13 of what the spiritual Christian is looking at. Which things we are speaking, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches. So, am I going to go to any kind of text on philosophy, psychology, anything that's of academic or in any way? Am I going to go there to rely on what's going on? It just very clearly says, not man's wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply facts. Facts and our knowledge. You have knowledge, which is facts, and that's absolutely worthless unless you have the wisdom of when to apply it. And that wisdom does not come from man. It comes from God. Now watch. Not from what man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Spirit teaches. Now I'm going to remind you of something. In the King James they have ghost, Holy Ghost. And in certain circles when you say Holy Ghost, that's a lot more reverent than when you say Holy Spirit. Same word. If you want to say Holy Ghost, then you're made up of body, soul, and ghost. That's the word. So I always just correctly read it. Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit in the last part of verse 13 that teaches us. Now, how does he teach us? Now, watch this. You don't get this in the English. It says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What does that mean? Well, in this context and in that verse itself, comparing what you're spiritually taught from Scripture by the Holy Spirit. You might be a human agency, but it's the Holy Spirit that ultimately teaches every Christian. And what you're spiritually taught by the Holy Spirit from Scripture, you compare that with spiritual matters. I gave you an example earlier. If I find self-examining in my life that I haven't even talked to the Father today. What did I just do? I just got a red flag in my self-analyzation because it says over in 1 Thessalonians 5, about verse 18, it's on the left-hand side page, left-hand column towards the bottom, pray without ceasing. Which means don't sign off. Just have a, just like you're in the same room. Like God's in your thoughts at all times. Whether you're focused on something else, but he's there. And, oh, yeah, it's like a co-thinking with him. And if I'm not doing that on a regular basis, I'm quenching the Holy Spirit. That's comparing what the Holy Spirit has taught me with spiritual matter. So let's read the last part of that verse again. Comparing that which is taught spiritually with spiritual matters. We say it another way all the time, which is based on this verse, compare Scripture with Scripture. And I'll say it another way. I think I came up with this, but my dad thought he did, so that's another story. Every time somebody says something that sounds a little off, say, where's the verse? If Jesus loves sinners, there must be a verse. And there ain't one. There's a song, but there's no verse. Comparing what's spiritually taught with spiritual things. Verse 14. This is what the spiritual Christian understands. But the natural man, that word translated natural is really the word soulish. And it has the idea of somebody that's in the realm of the soul, which primarily, but not exclusively, indicates sensual, that's nothing, I don't mean that in a negative way, the five senses, and the emotion. I would bet, and this is a little different than is usually taught, I would say this includes both carnal Christians, but primarily unsaved people. The translation and the footnote on the Schofield Bible take that to be just unsaved. But let me ask you this. Behaviorally wise, can you tell an unsaved person from a carnal Christian? Not always. In fact, when we get to chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says you can't tell the difference. Let's go there just for a second, just for the contrast. Turn over to the third chapter because it has to do with spiritual. Verse 1. Third chapter, 1 Corinthians, verse 1. And brother, so he's talking to Christians. I cannot speak unto you as spiritual. You know there's a different message for carnal Christians than there is spiritual. What's the message for carnal Christians? Repent. 2 Corinthians 9. Change your mind. After Acts, the word repent is not used for unsaved people. It's used for saved people to change their mind. And by the way, in Acts, it doesn't mean repent of all your sins. It means repent of the sin of non-belief. That's over in John 16. Brethren, I cannot speak to you like you're rightly related to the God the Father and thus emanating things of the Holy Spirit, but unto carnal, even as the infants. This is the word infant that means they can't even talk. Goo, 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 goo. Spiritually, you're goo, 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 goo. Which is okay when you're a couple months old, but it's not okay if you're 15 years old. Unto babes in Christ. They're still in Christ, but they're babes. Now let's go back to the 14th verse. But the natural, the one in the realm of the soul, by the way, the sin nature attacks the soul. That's over in 1 Peter 2:11. The sin nature attacks the soul. The one that is given to the soul receives not the things that are in this passage. They don't give a toodly-doo about what happens for you in your new birth, verse 9. They don't care that the Holy Spirit teaches you, verses 10 and verse 13. They don't care that in verse 12, you have to understand grace to understand the Christian life. It doesn't matter. Well, how do you know that? Well, let's read the next phrase. The natural or the soulish man receives not the previously mentioned things. You see the word the? In the original language, it's in this case, in this passage has the idea previously referred. So it's going all the way back to verse 9 to those that are loving him. But the natural man receives not the things of this that come from the Spirit of God, for they are, the word foolishness is, if you transliterate it, it'd be the word moronic. Now, I know we misuse the word moron when we get mad at brother or sister or something, but moron here means not able to rationally think. An unsaved person, a carnal Christian, cannot rationally think spiritually. Now, this is my way of using hyperbole and kind of semi-tongue-in-cheek joking. I used to say when I was in seminary, well, this passage, if I find a passage that has two possibilities, maybe three, and it's just really, there's a couple passages like that, you have to just sit on them. I said, the quick way to do this is we'll go find a good carnal Christian. And we'll say, is it A or B? If they pick B, we know it's A. If they pick A, we know it's B. Now, that's not always true because Satan has his counterfeits. But I just say that to emphasize the fact that if I'm carnal, if I'm not rightly related to the Holy Spirit, because I'm rightly related to the Father and the family of God, I have no potential to be taught spiritual things. And an unsaved person can't. So what would a spiritual Christian, how would a spiritual Christian use this? Well, a spiritual Christian is going to disregard anything an unsaved person or a carnal Christian says about spiritual truth. If you know somebody to be carnal and they teach something, don't listen to them. If you know somebody in the state of being carnal, now truth is truth. Or if you know for a fact somebody's unsaved, but man, they do a good job with Genesis, don't listen to them. Because embedded in, when they have it right, there's going to be a thread of wrong. Because they don't understand the riches of the new birth. That's what the passage says. Now let's go down to verse 15. Let's get the whole verse. But the one that is spiritual. In other words, we've given you how you can self-analyze. Very quickly. Am I spiritual right now? Am I rightly related? Here's your checklist. Am I rightly related? It's not steps. It's just a checklist of one step. Am I rightly related to the Father and thus rightly related to the Holy Spirit so He can teach me? And if I'm rightly related to the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can put the divine desires from the divine nature in my mind of Christ, my sharing in the mind of Christ, and then I act upon them. But the one that is spiritual discerns the true value, examines, interrogates all the previously mentioned things, going back to verse 9. But, not yet, but he himself, it's a real strong himself there, but he himself is not discerned by anyone. This is why I say this all the time. I can tell if a Christian is flagrantly carnal. I mean, if they're out there using my worn out example, if they're going to honky tonks every Saturday, I got a clue. So I can tell, and you can tell, if a Christian is flagrantly carnal. But you can't tell when they're spiritual. You can tell when they're not. How could you say that, Rich? Because you remember in the Gospels, the Pharisees would have people blow trumpets to announce that the Pharisee was walking along praying so that you could see how pious he was. Watch out for Christians that flagrantly show how pious they are. They're probably carnal. Because you cannot tell if I'm spiritual. You can tell if I'm not. That's what the verse says. But he himself is examined or vouched of by no one, not discerned by anyone. So we don't go around trying to prove we're spiritual to other people. In terms of the collective, both respect and responsibility we have to the rest of the assembly, we go around proving we're not carnal in our actions. But that's not divine enabling. Divine enabling is when we act upon Galatians 5:17, the strong desires that come from the Holy Spirit in the realm that come through the new nature in the realm of the mind of Christ. Now, I still have all those others out there, but I have to focus on the ones that come. Let's read the verse. I was going to go over to Ephesians 5, 18 and 9, through 21, some of the results of the filling of the Holy Spirit. But since it's Mother's Day and I want you to all get to your reservation, and I want you to salute, cherish, appreciate by having the best dinner you can eat, your mamas, we're going to end, but we want to end by reading the verse in a full interpretation. Verse 15, but the one that is emanating in their activity, the discernment of the Holy Spirit, because in the context they judge what they've been taught spiritually with spiritual manners, and all the riches that are as a result of the new birth of Christ in us, all those things, yet he himself is evaluated or discerned by no one. So don't say, I really like that guy, he's spiritual. He might be the biggest counterfeit you've ever known. You don't know. By the way, having said that, the only good counterfeit is a believable counterfeit. The only good counterfeit is close to the real thing. If I gave you a $3.50 bill that was made out of tissue paper, you wouldn't think it was a good counterfeit. He that is spiritual judges all spiritual matters by the things he's been taught spiritually. And there are no rules against any of those things. You can't make up a rule against it. By the way, you can't make up a rule to please God. Romans, the 14th chapter, the guy in the Old Testament gets saved. He's under Old Testament law. He comes over and he says, man, I like the dietary restrictions so much, I'm going to even add to the dietary restrictions because I'm making the extra law prove that I really love God. And he is discerned of no one. Our Father, we do thank you for the very simple yet complex concept of grace. It's not out of us. It's out of you. And we thank you that if we can appreciate, if we're being taught by the Holy Spirit, the riches that you've given us in this new birth. And in this new birth, we can learn to experience putting truth into action. And that's called spiritual. And we thank you for that. Amen. Lord willing.